following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic, or as we like to call it, the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network, and you can also find us on Podcast One through that Underdog partnership, which we are very grateful for. You are listening, as usual, to Sean Ryan and Sam Van Dam. Sam, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, Bubs?
Not much. I noticed via text, and just now you called me Bubs, B-U-B-S. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it, Bubs.
Yeah, man, Bubs is actually I use that quite a bit. Jay Will calls, like, so every time we play basketball, he always calls me or everybody.
White Chocolate Jay Will?
He calls everyone Bubs.
There you go.
So hey, I adopted it a few years ago.
No, yeah, it's good, Bubs. I like that.
I like Bubs, man. It's endearing.
Yep. So today, for all of our listeners, thanks for, you know, if this is your first time, thanks for popping by. If you're a return listener, you kind of know the drill. But we're going to talk a little bit about Super Bowl. You know, we did a lot of talk about that on the Get Paid podcast. But, you know, I want to get Sam's thoughts on it and everything. And we have, you know, some other things, some other sports, and a lot of NBA, actually, I have today. So we'll hit Sam with that live. But Sam, anything before we get started with sports, anything happened to you interesting? I have one, but I want to ask you, do you have anything interesting that happened?
No, man. I think I'm pretty boring this week. I don't have a standout story, but I'm eager to hear yours.
All right. So I was at the gym. Okay. You know, doing my cardio as usual. And as I was running, you know, you people watch, especially, you know, for me, I do like 45 minutes or an hour on a treadmill. And I'm looking around, and I see this guy. I see this guy. He's wearing like a spandex or lycra, you know, maybe something that looks like a what a cyclist would wear, you know, like one of those textured shirts, like super tight, except he's probably about like 30 or 40 pounds overweight, which I don't care. I mean, you're at the gym, you're doing your thing, you know.
Right.
You know, that's what you're putting in the works, and, you know, no judgment there. But what I did find interesting, still no judgment, but definitely worth noting, is that this spandex lycra shirt was basically a mock-up of Donatello, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, like full muscled out turtle.
Oh.
Donatello with, you know, at the bottom of the shirt was his purple belt. That's why I was able to identify him as Donatello. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And you know, again, this guy's kind of overweight. And I'm like, okay. Then, you know, as I'm continuing to survey this, I noticed that he's also wearing full pant tights, purple, matches the belt color. So he's definitely in full Donatello, right? There is not a part in this outfit that doesn't have a bulge trying to creep through somewhere. Okay. And it is bulging everywhere. And I just thought, cool, I guess. I mean, like, you know, very interesting, you know, definitely sticks out. But, like, I'm not really making fun of it. Like, I don't know, because one thing, you know, he could, I mean, in theory, if he's walking out of the house in that kind of outfit, he might, like, actually have some kind of, like, mental problems. So I thought, you know, is he somebody who's, like, either has, you know, some issues, which, you know, I definitely would never make fun of anything like that. Or is he somebody who's just so supremely confident that he's just felt like being Donatello today?
Well, let's not give him the benefit of the doubt that he maybe is a special needs person.
Yeah, right.
And obviously he's got nobody close in his life that's going to tell him that that is not a good look. Mm-hmm. And maybe they did and he just doesn't care. But, you know, that seems ridiculous.
I can tell you, I can confirm to you that he was not wearing underwear under the tights.
Oh. Well, then he is supremely confident.
Supremely confident. Supremely confident.
Or the other.
Yeah. Well, let's just assume that he's supremely confident. Now, right. the one extra note that I found very interesting about this scenario.
Well, hold on. What was he working out on? Was he doing like some lat pulls?
No, he was doing a. He had a personal trainer. And he wasn't in shape at all. I mean, he was overweight, but you could see, like, you know, arms and stuff. Like, he didn't really have any, like, any muscle mass whatsoever. So it looked right. like he was, like, a beginner. He had a personal trainer probably taking advantage of, like, some sign-up deal or something. The personal yeah. trainer was kind of walking him through. And he was just trying to do, like, arm curls with really, you know, like, dumbbells that were way too light for him. That, you know, right. like, those kind of curls aren't going to do anything for him. You know,
right.
he's just going to, like, be able to pump, like, 300 reps out on that weight kind yeah. of deal. Yeah. But the thing that I found most interesting about the whole ensemble is when he turned around, his back was basically like a ripped green human back, almost like, you know, like the Incredible Hulk. There's no shell on it.
Oh,
right. It was definitely a Donatello shirt. It was not a Hulk shirt because he had that purple belt, but he had no shell outlining. Yeah. That to me was like, actually the most disturbing thing.
Was there
the
like
whole thing.
Muscle? Like
yeah, it was muscle. It was like fake muscle, fake lats. Muscle. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So
I don't know, man. That's
the, isn't yeah. that isn't that odd?
That is odd. I wonder if it's a bootleg.
No, it could be a bootleg. Speaking of bootleg,
so
you watch
his,
that.
So his pants were like full tights.
Full tights. Full tights.
You know, Gooch said that's how he's working out now. Full tight shirt and full tight pants, like, but no shorts over top. And I said, but, and he goes, and I was like, and you like go to the gym? And he's like, I have a home gym. And I was like, okay.
Of course he has a home gym.
Yeah.
Of course he has a home
gym. He's got a home gym.
But, you know, either way, I mean, why are you – I don't understand the idea of wearing – because I understand the idea of compression. I wear compression all the time.
Right.
But, like, why not wear the shorts over it? I don't know. Like, I guess you've had these conversations with them probably more than I have because this is the first time I'm hearing about it. But why not wear the shorts over the pants?
I think he
it's just liberating,
wants to get – Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know him.
Yeah,
he's a little flamboyant.
Yeah, man. He's like an ancient Roman, you know.
Yeah.
There's a guy over the girl over there. You know, anything goes, and that's the way it should be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I see that move a lot. A lot of people are wearing.
I hate that move. It really irritates the crap out of me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I get it. Like, I wear the tights, like you said, under my shorts. Mm-hmm. I wear the. You know, but you know, I don't need to see everybody's
business
junkathon.
Yeah,
going on down there.
I don't even like when like really pretty girls show up to the gym wearing all that stuff. It's a distraction. You know, I'm there to work. I'm not there to like show off. I'm not there to have other people show off. It kind of bugs me.
It's because everybody's like taking pictures of themselves. Yeah, good point. Putting it online, man. It's not even for them. It's just they're trying to impress somebody,
you know, and so like, you know, I don't do it so much anymore because, you know, I'm injured and I can't really do it, but I, you know, did CrossFit for a number of years and you know, I'll watch the CrossFit Open. I'll watch just about any kind of sporting challenge, you know, like that's formatted like that, you know, you get points and you accumulate. CrossFit, the CrossFit Games is pretty interesting because, you know, you have 3 days of basically like just workouts that drain the crap out of you. I think it's actually like five right. days now. So it's almost like a decathlon in the Olympics. But you get it every year and it's interesting. And, you know, there are some people, you get familiar with the people and the storylines and all that. And but you start to see a greater representation of dudes that show up and just work out in tights. Like they just show up in tights and no shirt on. It's just like, come on, bro. Like, come on. You know,
it's terrible.
Just come out in hot pants. Like this is what you're trying to do, right? Just wear booty shorts then, you know,
right?
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to show off. So just show off then.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's get to some real sports then. Hey, let me ask you this. So Lindsey Vonn, you know who she is, right?
Yep.
So there's a story, you know, and she crashed in what I think it was her final race and all that stuff. And she's retiring. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of stories about this. I'm wondering why the hell I should care about it.
Yeah, I thought Lindsey Vonn like really stopped racing about 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and I only know who she is because of
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's semi Tiger Woods, and then semi, you know, every few years the Winter Olympics come around. I mean, good for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it that slow? I mean, this is like Super Bowl week. Is it that slow of a news story where we keep hearing about Lindsey Vonn? Like, you know, it's not like Lindsey Vonn. Maybe she is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant to female skiing. But I keep track of the Olympics. I keep track of, you know, both the summer and the winter. like, you know, there's just no reason to care about it to me. It would be like, you know, story after story about Marty Fish retiring from tennis. It's like, who cares? He's Marty Fish, you know?
Right, right. I guess because she's an American Olympic athlete. We don't have
She's
had a lot of success. Yeah. So, I mean, I get it, but I feel like that should just be like a small news blip. We don't cover anybody else. I mean, unless it's Shaun White, we don't really hear about anybody else from Winter Olympics. So,
yeah. Super Bowl, man. What do you think about the Super Bowl?
Oh man, it was terrible. I kept watching because I was like,
well, it was a close game.
Well, that, and I was like, it's eventually like it's gonna break out. Like I kept like waiting in anticipation for something to happen, and then it was just punt.
That's kind of how I felt when I watched. How I felt when I watched Breaking Bad. It's like everybody keeps telling me about how great it is. It's just like, oh my gosh, this whole like 5 or 6 season stretch, it could have been told in like 2 seasons if they just had some action.
We basically watched the whole thing basically just down to the last, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of hoping after the Patriots scored that the Rams are going to come down and like we're going to make this thing a little shootout going out, but it just didn't happen that way.
Yeah, golf.
Overall, man. Overall, like the commercial sucked.
Yeah,
halftime show sucked. The game sucked.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess there was good defense, but you know, it wasn't even a ton of like forced fumbles and a ton of, you know, I don't know. It was just a lot of 4 and outs or 3 and outs.
Do you think this is interesting because the commercials have been bad for a while, the last few years? Do you think they've always been this bad and maybe we're just older and we're like, you know.
That probably has something to do with it and the content that's at our hands, like at our disposal at any moment is funnier or going to be better than the stuff we see on a Super Bowl. And a lot of those ads, I guess, were leaked. So they were already online. Mm. So like people had already seen them and I think our – you know, we're like quicker for knowledge and, you know, instant gratification. Like, all right, we see this. Okay. We like it. On to the next thing.
Yeah. And that's a really good point too, because we can go on to YouTube and not only see things that you know, stuff that's funnier, but stuff that's, you know, more, I guess, risque or whatever. I mean, we can, there's stuff that the NFL, you know, there have been commercials that have been, like, I've seen things in the past that were pretty funny, but the NFL said, no, we're not going to air it because we don't want, you know, any possible controversy to come, especially now with the NFL, with the whole national anthem and stuff. They're not looking to have any kind of controversy. Like, you know, for Nike, it would have been the perfect opportunity to air a Colin Kaepernick-sponsored commercial, you know? But, you know, the NFL would never let that happen.
They wouldn't have let that happen. They were they're too busy, you know, trying to make it right in all the other little pockets of
I did think the NFL like 100 commercial where they had all those players and stuff. I thought that was pretty well done.
Oh yeah, that was really well done.
But that was like the one commercial that was well done. Everything else kind of sucked, man. I didn't like chuckle. Even my wife, because my wife and I know, you know, a lot of people around there don't even care about the game. They care about the commercials and all that stuff.
Right.
And even she's like, wow, the commercials really sucked this year. You know, so it was, I think it was a kind of a letdown. The game itself, you know, I don't mind it. Brad and I were talking about it. At least it was close. Like I found more enjoyment in that game than I did in some of the blowouts. And the one I mentioned, I think on the Get Paid podcast was like in the like 95-96 season when the 49ers played San Diego and the 49ers just, I mean, within the first quarter, the game was over. And there have been a couple, like the Dallas Cowboys did that to the Buffalo Bills once.
Right.
You know, those blowout games, it's like, you know, I tend to actually and in the past, I've actually turned some of those games off because it's already been in hand. I wasn't far off from turning the Falcons Patriots game down, you know, off. I mean, it was probably, I would probably would have turned it off in the third quarter if the Patriots weren't showing signs of life there. So, yeah, I mean, like the blowout, I thought that was better than a blowout game just because it was close and interesting in the last few minutes. Like that tension was there, but it was a bummer when Goff threw that, that interception on the sideline there. It seemed like he might have even, given Cooks a chance to make a play if he threw it about 10 yards further, but he just didn't get anything on the ball. And once that happened, yeah. It was it, you know.
What do you think, Todd Gurley? There was something wrong with him? Or what?
Gosh,
what do you
think? I have no freaking clue.
He looked out of it.
He looked – it's been so hard because I bet on – for a prop bet, Brad and I, by the way, on the Get Paid podcast, we've been on fire all year. Brad was 16-8 on his prop bets, and I was 18-6 on my prop bets. So we had a pretty good handle on how the game would go. Yeah, it was insane. We actually started the night, I think, 8-1 or 9-1 on prop bets. Like we were going nuts. But yeah, like the Gurley thing, one of the ones I missed on is I thought Gurley was going to come back and get over 72.5 yards was his prop. And you know, they split time, and I don't have a feel for if Gurley was injured or if McVay just didn't think that he had it. And what concerns me about this is if I'm a Rams fan, I'm not. I'm a McVay fan. I'm not a Rams fan. But what concerns me is it sounds like Gurley, you know, after he had his injury late in the season and C.J. Anderson came in and did really well in the system, it looked and seems to me like maybe McVay kind of thought, oh, well, I can just lean on C.J. Anderson if Gurley is giving me, you know, some pause or anything. But it seemed like Gurley, maybe not so much in New Orleans, but it seemed like he was ready to go, you know?
Right.
It seems like they just didn't get him the ball. And what I said in the Get Paid podcast to Brad was, and I think, Sam, this kind of goes back to the point you were making about you're just kind of waiting for some of this stuff to break through. I called the game plan for New England. I don't know if I did on this podcast as well, but I definitely did on the Get Paid podcast. As we were going into the Super Bowl, I said the Patriots are going to, you know, stack the box. They're going to try to shut down the run with the Rams. Because they don't want Gurley to beat them. And I said Gurley specifically, not C.J. Anderson. And then I said that in the passing game, you know, they have familiarity with Brandon Cooks because Brandon Cooks used to be a Patriot, and they have good personnel, and they will be able to basically have somebody play one-on-one against Cooks. And then they're going to try to lock down Robert Woods to make sure they limit his explosive plays. So they'll probably double cover Robert Woods, single cover Cooks. And for the Rams to be able to be effective, they're going to have to work the 5 to 8 yard completions to Reynolds and their tight ends. And so like during the game, right before the first half was over, I texted my brother and I texted Brad actually. I said, you know, I think that this drive, McVay's going to dial something up like a seam route or a deep flag to one of his tight ends. And then like right after that, I said, or, you know, maybe he's not going to show that wrinkle yet. Maybe he'll wait to the second half so that, you know, he won't give Belichick time to adjust. So I was like convinced because again, everything I said and would happen with the Patriots and their game plan and everything is what happened. Right. And I know, and everybody out there listening is rolling their eyes right now. Like, I'm not a coach. I know that. I know that it's more complex than, hey, the Patriots are just, you know, doing six people in the line of scrimmage and all that. I know there's different, like, disguises and all that. I get that, right? But I also understand that McVay gets that and should be able to coach around that, right? So take this for what it's worth and take it with a grain of salt. I'm not an NFL head coach, but I expect NFL head coaches to make the adjustment if, you know, they know what's going on, because I certainly knew what was going on during that game. So coming out in the second half, I'm thinking, okay, now they're going to start hitting those tight ends. They're going to start hitting Reynolds over the middle, and they never did that. And then they never pressed the issue with Gurley, you know? It just seemed like McVay was like a deer in the headlights from about the first quarter on, and he just never recovered.
Oh, the whole team. Yeah. And I mean, we kind of talked about that was probably going to benefit the Patriots because they've been there a million times.
Yep.
The whole team just looked like it was just the brightest lights I've ever seen.
Yeah. And look, man, like you hit the nail on the head. And something I said to Brad was, you know, this game was 3-3, either at the end of the third quarter or into the fourth quarter. I can't remember when the scores switched, but yeah, it was in the fourth quarter. It was 3-3. The game was absolutely winnable by either team, but it never felt like the Rams had a chance to me.
Nope.
Right. And so it was 3-3. No. The Rams actually, I think, might have even had the ball to try and possibly even take a lead. I'm not sure about that. Maybe the Patriots came down and got their touchdown after the Rams tied it. But the Rams definitely had their opportunities. And Brandon Cooks, you know, was wide open and Goff hit him late. I think McCourty came over and broke up a pass. But that should have been a touchdown. A little bit later, Brandon Cooks was kind of interfered with. Gilmore had his arm, but it was a perfect throw, but, you know, he was interfered with. But that's another thing I said about the Patriots. Again, I'm not sure if I said it here or get paid, but I said, look, you know, these Patriots, the game gets more physical. The officials don't like to decide a game. And especially given the situation with the Rams and their pass interference against the Saints that wasn't, that was not going to be called. And so as a receiver in these big games, when you're playing a Bill Belichick defense, you know you're going to get a more physical game and you're not going to get the calls that you get in the regular season. This is why I usually don't bet playoff games, either in the NBA or the NFL, because the officials start swallowing the whistles and they let things go. And Belichick knows this, and he says, hey, be handsy with the receivers. And so then you get
there was no deep – there was no deep ball pass interference, like, in the whole game.
And that Cooks one absolutely was a pass interference.
Right.
But they're never going to get that call.
They weren't going to call that.
Never.
And Belichick knows that. He coached all the guys up and said, I don't care what you got to do.
Especially
what happened down in New Orleans.
And Belichick, for years, when Peyton Manning was a Colt, this is another thing I said on Get Paid, when Peyton Manning was a Colt and they had those explosive offenses, they would get in the playoffs and Belichick would say, hey, mug Marvin Harrison and the receivers, because they let the NFL and the officiating, they let you get away with that. And so to me, that's not cheating, right? It's not Belichick or whatever, you know, people call it. It's not cheating. It's knowing the circumstances, right? It's in the NBA, it's the same way. If you're in the finals and you're the road team and you're, you know, in a big pivotal game, and like, let's say it's a game five and you're the road team, you're not going to get that call with 1 minute left in the game if you're hacked. Right. It's not going to happen. And you have to know that, and you can't let the officials or the lack of officiating decide the game for you. And the Patriots know that, and the Rams, that's something you have to experience a couple of times, I think.
Yep. They'll be back.
I think they will. Yeah. But what concerns me now is, like, what the hell's going on with Gurley? Because it seemed like he was ready to go, and he says he was ready to go. Now, if he had a lingering injury, maybe we'll find out later in the season. Maybe he wasn't, and McVay and the Rams are just trying to protect Gurley and say, oh no, he's ready, and they didn't want the Patriots to game plan for CJ Anderson. You know, who knows?
Right, because they didn't put it on the injury list. Yeah. So.
But, you know, if it is as it appears, if Gurley was healthy and they didn't get him the ball in a game that was 3-3 in the fourth quarter, shame on McVay and shame on the Rams. And I love McVay. I really respect him, but he got outcoached, man. And that was the big difference in the game to me.
I mean, he said it too.
Yeah. He said, to his credit.
I've got outcoached. Yeah.
Outcoached wasn't the word. It was like what Adrian Peterson does to his kids. He basically got beaten in the nuts with a stick.
Yeah. So spanked with a switch.
Yeah.
Right in the newts.
Julian Edelman won two awards on Super Bowl Sunday. So he won the NFL Super Bowl MVP, which is great. He also won the Sean Ryan Award for beard that most looks like Andre the Giant's pubes.
That's an epic beard, man.
That is a beard that needs some work, man. Like, I love a beard. I love a beard, right? I respect the beard.
Yeah.
But come on, man. Enough.
No, he just lets it go. Like, no. I think throughout the whole season.
He's doing a disservice to the beard, man.
Nah, I like it, man.
You like that thing?
Yeah.
You can't even get a chin strip on that thing.
Think about it, man. He's a good looking gentleman. And he just uglies himself up with that thing.
He does.
And you know what? It still doesn't matter.
I know. You know,
he probably shaved it today now that they're done with all their crap.
Yeah, maybe
and they were at the Bruins game last night and all that other crap.
Did you see Brady and Edelman doing the Star Wars thing at Disney World? Like they were.
They were
jousting. Brady actually looked pretty good with the sword there. Maybe he plays that a little bit with like his son or something, or his kids or something.
He was like, he was ready to go.
Yeah, he was spinning
that thing. Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
He's taking the Jedi class at Hollywood Studios.
You know what? Maybe I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe he's the kid from that epic Star Wars YouTube video from back in the day. You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah. It might be Brady, or it might be his cousin or something like that.
Maybe.
He had the moves, though.
Or he studied that kid. Now that kid was...
Yeah, he had the game tape. He had the game tape. Yeah, once he was done studying for the Rams defense, he's like, okay, enough Wade Phillips scheme. Let's get the Star Wars kid from YouTube.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to be at Disney on Monday morning.
I think everybody knew that. My bank account,
certainly. I was talking to someone. I was like, man, you wonder how much sleep like they did not get. Like, they basically are up late in Atlanta, like, after parties, all this crap. Then him and Edelman are in Orlando the next morning. Then they're in Boston later in the day. And then they had a whole parade yesterday. And then they're at the Bruins game. I'm like, these guys must not be sleeping and drinking heavily.
I hope they're taking their multivitamin. Did you say you had a few Chardonnays over the weekend?
Yeah, I had a few Chardonnays. What of it?
Yeah, I got your text. I forgot to tell you. And I might have told you this before, but if you pop, do you take a once daily vitamin?
Yeah.
I take one
of those all health.
Yeah, like whatever they
all
have.
Multi-purpose, like, yeah, whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah. If you take like an extra one or two of them on a night that you know you're going to be drinking, you don't get a hangover.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to take, charcoal pills now.
Oh, really?
And that that works like incredible. Like, take a charcoal pill, like.
Well, isn't that kind of like what Tums is? Is Tums like refined charcoal? I don't really know.
I don't know, man. That's just what they say. Wake up without a hangover.
One of my wife's friends is a pharmacist, and she says that the best thing that you can do if you got caught and you do have a hangover, the best thing you can do is take Alka-Seltzer. And it'll significantly improve things. Not coffee, not no hair of the dog or anything like that. Just take an Alka-Seltzer and you'll be all right. That's what she says. So that's kind of what my wife swears by. But for me, my hangovers, because I'm not a big drinker.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes, as you know, as evidenced by your wedding, years and years back, when I do drink, sometimes I lose track of how much I drink, and it gets bad pretty quick. I generally have it's funny, it's tied very closely to how much the drinks cost. So if there's an open bar situation, you might have to peel me off the floor.
Right.
it's been bad in the past. So if I get into that situation, like, I don't. You know, I never plan. Nobody, I don't think, ever plans to have a hangover, because it's like the worst thing in the world. But there are some times that you just is like, oops, you know, and it happens. And when that happens, you know, I'll take that and it'll help. But if I do know there's going to be a night where, you know, I'll probably be drinking a little bit more than extra. My wedding, for example, I had kind of prepared, and I got these, you know, these hangover cure pills that you take it before you drink, and it goes. Well, over the time, I came to find out that it's basically just a bunch of vitamins. So they say just take multiple multivitamins and you don't have a hangover. And so I've been in situations where I've had like a ton to drink, and like the next morning, like, I know I've been drinking, but I don't feel hungover. You know, I feel like maybe a little sluggish, but I don't feel like sick, or I don't have the headache and anything. So there's a little
my
tip.
Thing is, I just get nauseous. And
me
then
too.
Everyone that knows me knows I'm the vomit king. So, you know, like,
yeah, I remember a camping trip on the way home, having to pull off.
So, like, I mean, that's pretty much. So, I mean, now I'm just to the point where I'm just skipping a step. And before I go to bed, it's finger down the throat.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I wake up in the morning, finger down the throat, because I hate that feeling of that nauseousness. I'm like, I just got to throw up. I'll feel much better once I throw up. And then I'm good. I mean, I'll have like a slight headache and stuff. But once I get that crap, like, out of the nauseousness out of my system, I'm good. So
I think I might have already told this story on here, but after Christmas, I had there was a Christmas night where I actually kind of blacked out a little bit. Did I tell this story on here?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then. So, but there you go. I don't even have to stick my finger down the throat anymore. I can just think you have to throw up, or it's going to be
really bad. We're responsible adults, and we're just telling you all about our.
Well, there's no if just don't ever go to bed drunk or spinning. If you're like that, just throw up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not pleasant to throw up, but it's a heck of a lot more pleasant it's than 12 hours
than
of misery
waking
the next
up.
Day.
Yeah, then keep waking up and the room's still spinning and you're trying to get comfortable. Just now I'm to the point where it's like my throat knows. Like, yeah. I'm like, push a little doorbell on the side of my mouth, like right down the throat. It's like, boom.
No, me, like I say, I have the Jedi Force. I don't even need to do that anymore. I'm to the point now where I've transcended, and I've just say, you know,
you need to throw up
and I just do it. What I do is have you ever seen those deep sea divers? Like, have you ever seen those people that dive on run breath?
Yeah.
Like in a, and so what they do is they breathe heavy in and out really fast. And so I'll just do that for like 10 seconds and then it just all comes up.
Oh man.
It's like a stomach pump, my own stomach pump. I just breathe in and out and then everything comes out.
Well, I'll have to try that.
Yeah. The next morning my wife was like, did you throw up last night? I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, of course I did. She's like, yeah, I think like you got some of it on the ceiling. It was everywhere, man. It was everywhere.
That's awesome.
It was so bad. And like I didn't even think about like the medication that was still in my body until like 2 days later. But anyway, let's move it on. Let's talk about some NBA stuff.
Yeah. Now that we're so I guess let's talk about a complete Anthony Davis takeover and everything that's fallen from that. Well,
so I did see today, by the way, Sam, that they're sitting him on the bench until after the trade deadline, which I think is smart.
It is smart. They're probably going to – I don't think he's going to get traded.
I don't think so either.
Probably, I think they're going to sit him the rest of the year because he's injury prone. You can't have him playing. And these guys want to dictate their own future? Well, you know what? Sit down. Because what I don't like about this whole Anthony Davis thing is I get it, you know, and I respect the fact that he gave them his word and that, you know, hey, listen, I don't want to play here, pass. But he still had a year and a half left on his contract.
Right.
You know, we used to have guys like start talking about this like before the trade deadline of the year they're coming up. Now we're having people just trying to dictate their own thing. So it's kind of, I think, and what I've heard is that the league does not want him to go to LA. So, really? Yeah, that a lot of the GMs and stuff are kind of like talking to the Pelicans and being like, don't do this. Like, we don't want these players just totally dictating everything where they want to go. And now it's like, hey, LeBron wants him, so we're just all going to cater to what they want to do.
But the problem to me with that, I agree absolutely with the sentiment, but the problem with that is
a year
is
and
like,
a half left.
But what are the Pelicans going to get that's more compelling than what the Lakers offered?
Well, supposedly the Celtics have something, but he's not going to want to play there, you know? That's my whole thing. And that's why I have an issue. I don't think guys should be able to say this crap and to have this come out like until they're on their last year of their deal. I don't know how you deal with that or whatever, or you just don't pay them for the year.
Well, he did get a little fine, but it's a drop in the bucket for him.
Right. But I mean, like, you still have a year and a half left. Like, you have all next season still under contract with the Pelicans. Like, I get it, and you have this year. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, I want to play with my team right now. And it's like, yeah, but what are we going to go out there and you're going to get hurt? And then you're still not going to want to sign here, you know, and like you're going to get absolutely nothing. The Pelicans are in a really tough position. And the Lakers are idiots for trading their whole damn team or offering their whole damn team. I get that they want to have LeBron with AD. But who the hell are you going to have out there with them?
Yeah.
That's yeah, my thing. It's one thing to get rid of Kuzma or Ingram or two
Ball
of them.
Or whoever.
But you got all three of them in a deal? These are your top picks over the past few years.
That's like, to me.
What are they going to play with?
That's
LeBron
the confusing thing to
35
me.
35 years old. He's not going to, you know, you're going to have Anthony Davis out there, and then you're going to have a bunch of guys on like, you know, minimum contracts. Like, and you're going to get a bunch of screwballs. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's why if I'm New Orleans, like, I'm wondering why you wouldn't – like, okay, so maybe Boston can put together a better offer, you know, next year. Okay, that sounds good. So maybe, yeah, take it into the offseason. I'm cool with that. But you get Ingram, Ball, and Kuzma plus draft pick consideration. That's a pretty good offer.
Two first-rounders.
Yeah, but they'll be low first-rounders. Yeah.
Right, but you could work in another team. It's crazy. And they offered Rondo and, like, Beasley. Like, who the fuck is going to be on your team?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're just trying to get him not for this year. You're trying to get him for next year. I totally get it. But so you're going to have LeBron, AD. Maybe you get somebody else, but – KD's not going to go.
I don't
there.
Understand it for the Lakers. Why don't you just wait and see what the offseason brings? You know?
Because I think they figure that Anthony Davis is just going to sign because now he has four teams that he said he would sign an extension with. And Magic Johnson's like, man, I promised all this crap. I got to deliver.
Yeah.
I got to at least get a second superstar. So I think – but now they've withdrawn their thing, which is smart. But now you got all these players that are like – I mean, you basically like – yeah. We're trading all of us for some for one guy, you know, and he's a great player, but you know,
I don't, he's injury prone. What concerns me is like so the model right now that everybody has to stack up against, and you know we'll see what happens after the season, but it's the Golden State Warriors and their ability to stretch the floor and hit threes at the rate that they do. If the Lakers team LeBron up with Davis, and let's just say that they don't trade away the full boat. Maybe they keep Ingram or Kuzma or Ball or whoever. They're not going to, but let's just say they're not as good as the Warriors are with that group. It seems like LeBron's trying to build this team that, like, I don't know, maybe LeBron, the GM, isn't good. I think that's pretty well documented. Like the guy pulling the strings behind the franchise, like he generally ends up kind of screwing his team and over thing. But it's like he's trying to build this team that would compete with like the 2011 San Antonio Spurs or something like that. That this Davis and LeBron mashup is not going to compete against these other teams. I just don't see it. I think it makes a lot more sense to me for the Lakers maybe to try to go and swing hard after Cousins, somebody that you can stretch the floor a little bit more and hit outside shots, and just try to find somebody like, you know, that can hit threes. That's like a good three-point shooter. Klay Thompson, when he's, you know, up and available. That makes more sense to me. Get people that stretch the floor. Don't try to go to this inside-out game, like this triangle offense. It's not going to work today.
Go get J.J. Redick in the offseason.
Yeah,
you know, that would be some shooters. They need shooters.
Mm-hmm. That would be a much more interesting acquisition is J.J. Redick. And this is the state of the NBA today. J.J. Redick over Davis.
I don't know if I go that far. But
I would, because you got to have somebody that can shoot threes. Like, what are they going to do? Just throw it inside and let Davis do Davis things?
Davis can shoot. I mean, he can shoot too, but that's not what they're bringing him in for.
No, I'm not saying.
Why don't you develop some of these guys? I don't think you should give up on Ingram. I don't think you should. You know, like it's crazy to me. Like, I'm glad they withdrew that because that was a ridiculous package. And if the Pelicans don't want to play that, you're better off not waving all those guys out there. Yeah, you know, because you're literally gonna have to sign guys from the YMCA rec league to fill out your team because you're gonna trade eight players for one.
Yeah, maybe they'll get rid of Ball and Rondo, and then they'll sign J. Will and Sam Van Dam from the Central Florida Rec Squad.
Yeah, the YMCA Rec League, Maitland Rec League, stand up. ridiculous. I don't get it. Like, it's just
to qualify, by the way, what I said about Redick, I know that Redick's not as good as Davis, but what I'm saying is like stretch the style of basketball. I just don't see like
they need shooters, man. Right, they got beat by 42 last night. You know, like to an Indiana Pacers team that doesn't have Victor Oladipo, they lost by 42 last night. Like they're a bunch of. I mean, this is what happens when you put a bunch of just randos together. Like, you got Lance Stevenson out there, you got Rondo out there, you got Michael Beasley out there, you got, you know, and then you got these young guys. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of trades from between now and Thursday.
I saw one trade.
This will drop on Friday, so all this will be past tense, but I think it's going to be pretty crazy.
I saw one trade, one kind of, I think, what will be an underrepresented trade. Tobias Harris goes from the Clippers to the 76ers.
Oh, that's a big one.
I love Tobias Harris. I always have. I always thought he's been underrated. I think that's a great move for Philadelphia. What do you think?
Of course, he played for the Magic.
Yeah, I know. He played for the Magic, right?
And they got rid of him for nothing. So, yeah, he's going to go out and have a great career afterwards. Put your money on anybody that leaves the Orlando Magic.
I feel that way about the Baltimore Orioles in baseball, too.
Yeah.
I root for teams that have really good talent that becomes Hall of Fame talent after they leave the team.
Right. Well, that's the Orlando Magic.
That's the Orlando Magic, and that's the Baltimore Oriole. That's everything.
They're going to trade Aaron Gordon away, and he's going to become, you know, all-league MVP. You know, this was going to happen.
That's what always happens. Once you get
so,
rid
of
that.
So, yeah, that's a big trade. I don't know if they have enough basketballs to go around. I'm not thrilled with some of the Jimmy Butler crap.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe without Jimmy Butler, and then you have that three, I think that's a – because – Tobias Harris was a borderline all-star this year, and he's a good player. And then you got Boban in that trade too, who I think is incredible. And that just helps Embiid, you know, a nice little big guy that can come in and help a little bit, give a few minutes. So yeah, I think that pushes them up a little bit. They needed another guy, so.
Yeah, very
got it.
Very interesting. I mean, I think that helps them in the playoffs against the Toronto and against maybe a Celtics. A Celtics team if they can actually, you know, get the momentum that they're trying to get there.
I love it, man. Elton Brand is aggressive as a GM. Like, they've made more trades than the Orlando Magic have made in the past 6 years in 4 months. Like, literally, we're sitting over here in Orlando. Well, just good, not doing anything,
yep.
You know, and this guy's out here like willing and dealing. It's like, hey, whatever. We got a short window. We need to go after this thing.
It's like the,
and he's right. You know, he's right. Like they got to strike. And
not only that, but he's an expiring contract on top of him being very good for this season. He's an expiring contract.
That, and I think he's going to sign. And if he signs, that's a great thing because they're not going to get anyone in free agency, you know? So to get a guy like this and you bring him in early, mm-hmm. you integrate him, he's going to have some success. Mm-hmm. They're going to make the playoffs, go probably deep. You know, like that's a good way to bring a guy on. And you're not going to bring guys in like that. You know, Philadelphia is not a big, you know, destination for free agent players. Yep. So I think it's a smart move.
I loved it when I saw it today. And again, this is Wednesday that Sam and I record these, so I liked it. And then I saw another story. This will probably be our last one for the day here. That the NBA Knicks are the most valuable NBA franchise at $4 billion. Can you imagine how valuable they'd be if they had any success whatsoever?
Exactly. Well, they own Madison Square Garden, so that rolls into their purchase price or whatever, their valued price. That's a huge venue that cranks out a ton of money for them. They also own their own networks and the Yes Network and all that crap. Well, I think it's part – no, MSG Network. Yes Networks, the Yankees.
Oh, right.
But I think they might actually be tied in with that somehow too. So, and they actually sell out like all the time. So, yeah, imagine if they actually had a good product to put on the thing. But I saw, you know, they traded Porzingis. I think that was a good trade.
Would they get back for that?
They got Dennis Smith Jr., who's a good young player, but more so they're freeing up cap room.
Okay.
And I think they know that Porzingis is going to take a while. He's injury prone too. So they're going to have to pay him. He's disgruntled. And I don't know if we'll ever see Porzingis return to what he was for that year we had him, that he was stellar.
Very good.
7'3" has a lot of injuries, a lot of bad knees, all this crap. So we shall see. It should be an interesting next, 48 hours.
Yeah, but the Warriors are going to win again. So yeah.
Yeah, Warriors are winning.
I hope it's
Warriors
at least an interesting series.
Hopefully, it goes in six.
Who do you think is coming out? If you had to pick today, who do you think is coming out of the East?
Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah.
They made a small move today, right?
Yeah. They got Stanley Johnson.
Yeah.
And they got rid of Thon Maker's 45-year-old ass. So that's just, I mean, they're a good team. And they got a future MVP and Giannis. And, yeah, they play really well as a team, good coach. I think they're going to – who knows what's going on in Boston land. They're so up and down. Sixers, who knows? I mean, they could push it. Toronto, who knows? They could push it. They have some trades that they're trying to work right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting to see what teams look like in a week. So
Well, there you go. I think that note, we can end the episode. That gives me a little bit of extra time to go on Amazon, see if I can find a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Lycra shirt to go to the gym with. And yeah, man, Sam, you got anything else for us?
Not much, man. Everyone be good. Yeah, have a good week.
Yep, be good.